Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to follow up a little bit from Sunday's message. I want to talk to you about increasing your faith. Increasing your faith. If you've been with us on Sunday morning, then you know that we've been in a series on the Gospel of Mark. We're in Mark chapter 9, the story of the father on Father's Day, a father who brought his son to Jesus. The son was possessed by a demon, and the disciples. Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. So the nine disciples were at the base of the mountain. They tried to cast the demon out, and it didn't happen. The father comes to Jesus, and Jesus says to him what is really the key verse in that whole story, Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus said to him, "All things are possible for the one who believes." All things are possible for the one who believes. That is such a great statement. Such an amazing statement. And, Jesus encouraging the father to have faith. Well, you remember the disciples were not able to cast the demon out. And afterwards, they came to Jesus. And in Mark's account, they said, "Why couldn't we cast the demon out?" And he said, "This kind only comes by prayer." One of the things we saw is that if you're going to have the power of God in your life, you've got to spend time in the presence of God. So you've made the right choice. You're here, you're in the presence of the Lord. Tomorrow morning, you get up, you spend time with the Lord. That's the right choice. That is the precursor to God's power working in your life when you're spending time in God's presence. But in Matthew chapter 17, in a parallel account, Jesus also tells the disciples, the reason why you couldn't cast that demon out is because you had little faith. Let's look at it. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed." In other words, he's saying if you had a tiny little itsy bitsy speck of faith. He said, if you had that much faith, he said, you'd be able to say to this mountain. What mountain is he talking about? Mount Hermon, all 9,200 feet of it, a huge, gigantic mountain. He's saying, listen, if you had a itsy bitsy, teeny weeny, tiny bit of faith, you could say to Mount Hermon, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea." And it would be done for you. Now, that's an amazing statement. I don't know about you. That when you think about that, it's like, whoa, that's an amazing statement. So what is he saying? He's saying you couldn't do it because you didn't have any faith. I mean, if they had a speck of faith, would move a mountain, and they couldn't even cast out a demon. What's he saying? They didn't have faith. Now, here's what's interesting. If they didn't have faith, did they believe they could cast the demon out? Yes. I mean, this is an interesting thing. They thought they could do it. They believed they could do it, which tells us something that I think is really, really important. What they thought was faith was not faith at all. Now, that's a very sobering thing, and I hope you've spent some time talking about it, because I'd have to say that after Sunday morning, second service, we're in my office, several of the pastors and some of our interns, and we're just sitting there talking about that passage, because that passage and that whole idea sparks a lot of conversation. The next day, I'm with some staff, and we're sitting there, and we're talking about that passage, because that whole idea of thinking you have faith but finding out, no, you really didn't because nothing happened, should create a bit of pause and reflection in the heart of every single believer. Remember, we quoted this from Charles Price. Dr. Charles Price said, the mistake, and he was a great faith healer back in the 1930s, used by God in an incredible way. The mistake with many is that they confuse Christ's imparted faith with their mental ability to believe. To sit down and repeat, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, is not only unscriptural, but spiritually dangerous. I admit that such a spiritually unsound method might help a few neurotics, but it would never remove the mountain that the master said faith would. Isn't it evident that when we have prayed what we thought was the prayer of faith and nothing happened, it must be that what we thought was faith was not faith at all? I mean, let's just cut to the chase. I mean, really, that's the heart of it. And I think it should cause every single believer to step back and to pause and to evaluate some things about faith. Did Jesus say that faith as a grain of mustard seed would work sometimes and not at others? Read the text again. His declaration was plain and specific. There was nothing ambiguous about it. It was a clear statement of fact from the lips of the eternal God himself. And who can speak with greater authority than he can? So I want to just think about this. When we talk about, having faith, having a strong faith, and Jesus is saying all things are possible for him who believes. And he's saying, in effect, to the disciples, when they're saying, why couldn't we do it? He's saying, it's because you had so little faith, but really, you only needed a speck of faith. So if they didn't have a speck of faith, they really had no faith, right? Everybody with me so far on that? So what I want to do is I want to give you just five things about real faith. Five ways to understand real faith so that you and I can walk by faith, so that we can see God work in our lives and especially in the lives of people around us, because that's what it's about, right? Now, before we look at it, then we're going to pray. We're going to give you an opportunity to pray because I believe God's going to do some amazing things. In fact, I've been excited all day. I couldn't wait to get to prayer meeting. Honestly, woke up ready to go. Before we look at the five ways, just by way of observation, it's interesting to note that Jesus he's like all preachers. Sometimes we forget about the human side of Jesus. And preachers have a tendency, you've heard me, if you listen to me for any length of time, I'll use certain expressions, regularly, or you'll hear me use an illustration or a story or a concept. It'll come up more than one time in my preaching, and it might be slightly varied. Jesus did that. And he did it with this. It's very interesting. On three different occasions, look at it in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now that's a very strong statement. No qualifiers outside of that. Then, in Mark's gospel, in another setting, this is Jesus after he's cursed the fig tree, and the disciples are amazed. The fig tree, he cursed it one day, they come back the next day, and the fig tree is cursed. And they're like, what in the world happened? And Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea. And there, as he's saying it, he is getting ready to crest the Mount of Olives. So you could say to the Mount of Olives, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it'll happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. So he uses that idea again. Then he uses it again in Luke chapter 17, a very interesting passage, where the apostles say to the Lord, increase our faith. Maybe after you're hearing, the message from Sunday, or you're hearing me talk, you're saying, boy, yeah, I probably don't have faith. Wow. It's not looking good for me. Because there's some of you who are thinking, man, if the disciples, they were with him 2.5 years and they can't have faith, then what hope is there for me? I mean, honestly, that would be a very normal human conclusion to come to. And if you're there, I say, hey, you're thinking it through in a way that would be, humanly speaking, that would be, I think, appropriate logic. That's not where we're headed, but that could be human logic taking you there. He says, they said, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it'll obey you. It's not a mountain, it's a mulberry tree, but nonetheless, that'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? So anyway, he uses that illustration in different ways. Now, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about real faith, and I want to give you five aspects of real faith. Number one, this is very simple. Real faith is not complicated. So, you know, though the disciples thought they had faith but didn't have faith, it's not complicated to have real faith. Isn't that good news? I don't know about you, but that's like the best news in the whole world. Because watch what happens here in Luke chapter 17. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Because, I mean, he has said to them repeatedly, oh, you have little faith. Oh, you're lacking in faith. And so the disciples, now Jesus is less than 6 months from the cross at this time in Luke. And they're like, man, you know, that's the one thing he keeps saying to us is we don't have faith. So Jesus, increase our faith. Now, what you would expect, well, I think Jesus' answer is probably one of the most surprising answers to a request in all the scripture, all the story of the Gospels. Because you would expect Jesus to say, well, it's about time that you ask. And yes, let me tell you, do one, do two, do three, do four, do five, and you'll have faith. Or you expect him to say, okay, and rolls up his sleeves and says, poof, now you have faith, you know? I mean, you expect something like that. Instead, Jesus gives, I think, a very interesting answer. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. They're saying, Lord, we need faith. And he's saying, guys, this isn't very complicated. You don't need a bunch. You only need, just a dab will do you. Just a little. Listen, all you need is a little tiny speck. And if you get a little tiny speck, powerful things will happen. I don't know about you, but that's very, very encouraging. What Jesus says to them when they're saying, Lord, we need more faith, Jesus is saying, hold up a minute. You don't need more. You don't need a lot of faith. You just need faith. And all you need is a speck. And if you have a speck and it's real faith, powerful things will happen. You don't need a boatload of faith. If it's real faith, all you need is a tiny bit of faith. That's good news, isn't it? So the idea of, like, how much faith do I have for God to work in my life? Let's not make it complicated. You just need a little tiny speck. And I don't know about you, but that's very reassuring. I don't know where you've come from. I don't know what the trajectory of your walk with Christ has been. But anybody in this room can receive powerfully from God and see God do powerful things if they just have a speck of faith. That's such an awesome, encouraging thing. How many believe God can give you a speck of faith? Isn't that awesome to think? Just give you a speck of faith. Just a dab will do you. That is such a great thing to think about. Number two, real faith is from God. I don't know about you, but that's also very, very encouraging. That Chris doesn't have to try to manufacture faith. Chris doesn't have to try to talk himself in to a faith posture or a faith experience or a faith filling his heart type thing, because guess what? He can't. I think this is what trips a lot of people up. I think this is what discourages a lot of people, depresses a lot of people. They're trying so hard to get faith, to manufacture faith, if you will, in their heart by whatever it is. So if I do this, if I do this, Jesus doesn't say, isn't this very interesting? Jesus doesn't say, well, you know what? If you guys would have fasted for 30 days before you saw, he doesn't say that. When they say, increase our faith, she says, okay, guess what? From now on, you are only eating 2 days a week. You are fasting and you will be. No, because you and I cannot create faith in our heart. Faith is from God. Listen to what Jesus says in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. And remember, that's the passage we just read where he uses the idea that you can move the mountain. But his opening statement is, Have faith in God. Literally, in the Greek text, it's have ye the faith of God. Have you faith of God? So the idea is faith comes from God. It's not you can't manufacture it. I can't manufacture it. Real faith comes from God, and you can have it. Real faith comes from Him, and you can have it. Don't make it complicated. It comes from Him, and you can have it. You say, man, you're making this sound way too easy. And if that's what you're thinking, that tells you you've let walking with God become way too complicated. You've made walking with the Lord, receiving from God, more difficult than Jesus ever intended it to be. And that's the way we roll as human beings, isn't it? Now listen to this. Real faith doesn't rely on a form, a pattern, or a previous work of God. This is the thing that trips most of us up every single time. Because you see, God moved in a time and a place and a way, and there was a certain kind of music, and there was a certain format, and there was this, and there was that. And we say, well, if we could just have it like that. If we could just set the mood and get a certain lilt to the music, then we're gonna see God work. Or we have a tendency to think, well, you know what? I can believe for that because I've seen God do that. So because I've seen God do it, you know what? That's exactly what got the disciples in trouble. Listen, when the man brought his son to them and said, you know, heal my son. What do the disciples do? They're like, well, of course, We do that. And so they're sitting there. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. They tried. That implied that is they tried, but they couldn't do it. They thought, we know how God works. We have faith to believe that what we saw God do over here, God will do over there. And they thought the fact that they had the confidence that God had done it once before, that He would do it again, they confused that as faith. Faith is not the same as confidence that you saw God do something over there, so now you got confidence He can do it there because you've seen it now. Now you get that He can do that, and so now because of that, you have faith. Faith is not, oh, I've got this all figured out. I know how God works in these situations, and so let me pray for you right now because I know how this works. Or I've seen it. I had it happen in my life, so let me pray for you because, now listen, I'm not saying that can't be helpful in God working faith in your heart. I'm just saying when you rely on that instead of God working faith in your heart, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Because when you think about it, think about Jesus' life. He never did things the same. He touched somebody to another guy. The man came and said, my son is sick and is going to die. And Jesus said, go home. He's fine. The man has a decision at that point. Am I going to believe him? Because the man's like 7 hours from his home. And so he turned around and he went and he met some of his servants on the road and he asked, when did it happen? They said it happened, you know, at a certain time. It was the very moment he'd been talking to Jesus. He put mud on the blind man's eyes, remember? And then he stuck his finger in the ears of the deaf man. And then another time he spit on somebody's tongue. And then another time, I mean, you know, sometimes he said in a loud voice. And sometimes somebody just touched the hem of his garment. And then, do you follow what I'm saying? Never the same. Always different. Why? Because Laura's not the same as Josh, and, you know, Bonnie's not the same as Haley, and Jeremy's not the same as David. I mean, do you follow what I'm saying? And everybody's different, and God meets everybody where they're at in the way that is going to bring Him glory. Because that's always what it's about. It's not about you or me. It's about His glory, which is a good thing for us because we benefit from the display of His glory, right? So you never want to get in the faith isn't relying on a pattern or previous experience. If you're relying on a previous experience, it may not be real faith. It may be your confidence in a previous experience, which is not the same as faith. Number four, faith is obedient to God's prompting. So this is where prayer in the presence of God. See, as you're in the presence of God, listen, what's true? The more I'm with somebody, the more I can sense without words even what's happening in them or even what they're thinking. I mean, Debbie and I have been married now 34 years, and I can't tell you the number of times I start to say something, and she says, I was just thinking that, or she starts to say something, and I say, I was just thinking that, or how we can be in a conversation with others, and we know exactly, I mean, everybody has that. You know, you've spent so much time together, you know what the other person's thinking. You can look at them, and you can tell, or you can look at them and see that disapproval, favor, you just can, because you've been with them, you know, right? This is how it is, musicians, you can come. This is how it is when you're in the presence of God. This is the value of being in church and not just trying to do it on your own. There is certainly value to spending time with the Lord on your own, but there's also value to sensing His moving in a place and watching what He does, because you have an opportunity to watch Him move and to see what you sense and to see what He does. And you say, oh, you know, man, I was sensing that, and then pastor did this, or so-and-so did that, and I just felt that was going to happen. Do you know what's happening through that? You're learning to sense the presence of God and His leading and His prompting. And that is the stuff real faith is made of. Cultivating that sensitivity to the Spirit of the Lord, to His prompting in a time and in a place. Listen to this. Here's what Jesus says, John chapter 5. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. So Jesus, when He comes to earth, He set aside the prerogatives of deity, though He was God. Philippians tells us He did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. In other words, He didn't use His prerogatives as God. He relied on the power of the Spirit to do what He did. Remember in Luke chapter 5, it says, and the power of the Lord was present for Him to heal, which implies when the power of the Lord wasn't present, He didn't heal. If you think some things through, you read the book of Acts, there's a man who sat by the gate beautiful for decades. Obviously, he was there when Jesus was there, and Jesus never healed him. He got healed by Peter and John. Interesting to think about that. You say, why didn't Jesus heal him? Because we're right there. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by Himself. He only can do what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So what Jesus does, Jesus spends time in prayer. And when He's spending time with prayer, the Father is directing Him. The Father's filling His heart with faith to do the things that He's going to need to do on that day, which again is why we desperately need that time in God's presence, because otherwise we're just doing our own thing. And how could we have real faith and have God working in our life in power if we're just doing our own thing? But on the other hand, when we're in His presence, we're saying, Lord, it's not my will, it's Yours. It's not about me, it's about You. And Lord, show me what to do and give me the faith to do in every step of this day. Give me the sensitivity to hear Your voice and the faith that moves mountains in every situation. How about the faith that moves mountains, not just regarding your job, but how about the faith that moves mountains when your friend at work tells us, this house, we got to get it sold, it's killing us, we bought a house and we're paying and blah, 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 and you're like, hold on just a minute, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to that house. Be sold. And see God do something amazing. Do you follow what I'm saying? You see, it's not predictable. There's a spontaneity to real faith. But over all of it, there's a dependency on God in the exercise of that faith. It's not complicated. Very, very simple. Just get close to God, be around Him enough that you can know, you can sense, you can feel, because you're there close to Him. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." He says, let's not make it complicated. Then he tells a story, a very interesting story. He says, "Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now, sit down to eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Hey, nice job in the field. I'm hungry, fix me something to eat.'" I mean, that's the way it worked in those days. "Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink." Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? You say, what in the world is that saying? Everything to do with faith. True faith is obedient. True faith is obedient. So if you're not willing to obey, oops, you don't have true faith. If you're not, and to obey means you have to hear, but when you hear, you obey. Abraham, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going, right? So God says, "Abraham, I need you to pack up the house, load the U-Haul, and take off." Abraham didn't say, "Well, you know, when you tell me where, I'll do it." He didn't say, "You know, I don't understand that. And since I don't understand it, if I can't understand it, how can you expect me to follow you?" He didn't have any of that. In fact, it's literally, while he was being called, obeyed. In other words, as God was still speaking, he's like, "Oh, you got it." And he takes off. Because faith, real faith, is obedient. It's obedient to God's prompting. So, you know, you're walking with the Lord, your situation, God prompts you to do something, to pray. You know, that coworker, that family member, that situation, and all of a sudden, you know, I was with a missionary. It reminds me just talking about this. A guy, he's one of the guys who made the prophecy over the church, the video, but I happened to be down in Panama, and he'd come off a 40-day fast, and so he was very thin, but it was very unique. Spent all this time in the presence of the Lord, and we'd be visiting at his house, and he'd say, "Excuse me, John, but we need to pray right now." Like, okay, let's do it. And I mean, he just immediately just start praying and calling on God on certain things. Because you see, real faith hears, obeys, does it. What I think, what you think, what anybody else thinks is really secondary. I mean, that's for some of you, you say, "Well, I don't want to look weird." Well, then you have to ask yourself this question: do you want to receive from God or not? Would you rather look normal, like most people who don't receive from God, or would you rather look weird and receive from God? I mean, there's a little bit of that tension, and I'm not, you know, God wants us to be disciples, not dipsticks, but at the same time, there's a little bit of a tension there, okay? Number five. It's not about you! It's not about you. It's not about me. We have a tendency to think, how will I look if I do this? Well, guess what? It's not about you. You know, the disciples, "Yes, we can do this. We know how to do it." And they'd been arguing with the scribes, and they're, you know, you have to believe. They're like, "We'll show you." But you see, it became about them. And when it becomes about you, then it's not about God. Then probably it doesn't involve real faith. So there is, people can say, "Well, how will I look if I do this?" Well, it's not about you. It's not about how we look. It's about He said it, and I'm going to do it. Now, here's the last verse I'm going to share with you. this is the end of that parable on the story of, hey, if your master asks you to do it, you just do it, right? You obey. So also you, when you've done everything you were told to do, should say, look at me, I cast out a demon. No. Boy, look what happened. I prayed for this person and they were... And there's a place for excitement, but you got to be very careful that your excitement doesn't begin to give you the glory and suddenly you're telling everybody because of how that what they'll think about you and how awesome you're going to be. Because listen, it's not about you. And when it becomes about you, then it no longer involves real faith. So you also, when you've done everything you were told to do, should say, we're unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. So when God gives you that real faith and you move the mountain, it's not about you. It's about Him. Look what God did. Look how God helped. All glory be to Him. You're not worried about how you look or don't look, about you only want God to get the glory, and you constantly want to stay out of the way of the limelight shining on Him. Real faith. Does that help? Lord, increase our faith. It's not complicated now. Some of you, you need the Lord to help you, and He understands that. Here's the good news. He helps people. You're saying, Lord, I just need faith. Here's what He's saying. Listen, it's not that complicated. Jesus, please increase my faith. He's saying, tiny, little tiny, itsy bit of faith, and you can move a mountain. In this moment, God wants to give you the faith that'll move the mountain in your life. He wants to do it. I've been excited all day because I just believe supernatural faith. You don't manufacture it. You just, all of a sudden, you just know in your heart, you know what He's, it's a supernatural knowing. It's a supernatural awareness. He's going to do this. He's going to do this. He can impart it in this moment. Some of you already have it. It's already come to you right now. You already got it. So here's what we're going to do. Maybe you don't sense anything, but you're saying, Lord, I just need an itsy bitsy bit of faith because I've got a mountain that's got to move. He wants to do that. It comes by prayer. It also comes by obedience. It comes by people saying, I'm going to take hold of God.